Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you back to another edition of our Anchored in the Word morning reflection and getting back into a very practical passage of Scripture. In fact, I'm really excited about our study this morning because the topic that we're dealing with is really the heart of this passage of Scripture. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 7, and we'll begin working through verses 18 down to verse 22. Again, that's Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 22. I'll read it with you. It says, "And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John calling unto him two of his disciples sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men had come unto him and said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or shall we look for another? In that same hour," that's he being Christ, "cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many of them that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Now this passage is we're really getting into the heart of this topic, because what we're seeing is the question that John brings and then the response that Jesus gives. And this is a great, very insightful passage from a pastoral standpoint. If you're dealing with someone who's dealing with doubts about their salvation, or somebody that's going through an emotionally difficult time, they're having a hard time processing that, this concept is very important. So the first thing I want you to notice about this is that John was troubled enough that he actually sent someone to Christ. He says, "Art thou he that should come," meaning the Messiah, "or shall we look for another?" John needed the Lord Jesus to strengthen his faith that had been weakened and was shaken. And I want to remind you that the way that John responds is exactly what we need to do in times like this. If we ever go through a period, or when we go through periods where we get shaken and disturbed in our hearts, we've got to go to the Word of God. We've got to go to what is objectively true, because that is what produces faith in us, or we could say stirs up our hearts so that we're convinced of the truth and we'll trust in it. And that's also what matures and strengthens and builds our faith. For instance, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So as the Word of God is preached, as we read it, as it's taught, as it's expounded, those truths begin to settle in our hearts, and they begin to convince us of the truthfulness of them and the reliability of them. And then we are compelled, we are called through the Word of God being proclaimed to us, we are called to trust in it. And so faith ultimately is not just rooted in the Word of God, but it's produced by the Word of God. If the Word of God wasn't there, we wouldn't have that faith. And so when John has this question, he's got to go back to God's Word, and Jesus is going to speak for himself. What this reminds us of is that if in our experience we do not process that experience through what is objectively true, what is authoritative, God's Word, if that's not shaping our response, if it's not shaping our perspective, then we are in a very dangerous position. We can come to devastating conclusions if we're not careful. So let's look at what Jesus actually did, how he responded to him. The first thing I want you to notice is that Christ pointed him back to something that was going on at the moment. For instance, in verses 21 and following, it says, "At that same hour, Jesus cured many of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits, and unto many of them that were blind he gave sight." Then he tells the disciples that John had sent, he said, "Go back to John and tell him what you have seen and what you have heard." Christ didn't shame John. He didn't say, "I can't believe that John would actually struggle. I mean, there are all these prophecies connected to him. Think about what his father, Zechariah, said. We grew up together. He's preached and he's actually in prison because of his boldness. How could a man with such confidence end up being shaken like this?" That's not the way that Jesus responded to him. He didn't tell him, "Oh, you need to just get over it. You need to just kind of strengthen yourself." That's not what he did. He doesn't even go back to something that happened in the past. And by the way, Jesus could have easily done this. He could have said, well, don't you remember that it was foretold that you were going to be the forerunner of the Messiah, and you've pointed people to me? And he says, go back and remember these conversations, and go back and remember these scriptures. That's not what he did. And he most certainly could have done that. No, what Jesus did was he didn't appeal to something that he had to recollect. He didn't appeal to something that he was feeling or that he had felt. He didn't appeal to that shame factor and saying, you know, how dare you be shaken in any way or ask such a question. No, what Jesus did is he pointed him to the facts that were right in front of him that were going on at that very moment. That is a really important thing for us to consider. Christ said, there are two things that need to be verified. One is these objective signs that are being given, that I'm performing, that are demonstrating who I am. He says, in the same hour, he cured people of infirmities. He cast out evil spirits. He gave sight to the blind. But then there's another side, not just the verification side, but he's rehearsing the message that Jesus is preaching. It says to the poor, the gospel is preached. And so John was being reminded through these eyewitnesses that there were objective reasons to be compelled to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And the message that Jesus was preaching was consistent with what had been given before and was consistent with what is true. In fact, you could even argue that what Jesus is doing is he's taking John back to the way that a prophet would have been verified in the Old Testament. If there's a prediction that's made, if there are signs that authenticate that prophet's ministry, and his message is consistent with what has been preached consistently through the Old Testament, then that's how you verified a prophet. So he's basically saying, you can verify that I'm the Messiah because listen to the message that I'm preaching and look at the signs that I am performing that demonstrate the authenticity of my person and work. What's the whole point? Well, the whole point is that when a person is shaken, they shouldn't, you know, recoil back to a corner and hide themselves and just kind of nurse their wounds. They shouldn't go back to try to recall something that they said or they did or they felt years and years ago and base their trust in that experience and their recollection of that moment. They should go back to what is objectively solid, the Word of God. In fact, a great example is the way that I deal with people when they're struggling with doubts about their salvation. You know what I do when I ask, when I'm talking to a person who has doubts about their salvation? I don't actually go back to a moment when they were kids and say, can you remember what you said to your parents and what they taught you or what your Sunday school teacher said? And do you remember what you prayed? I don't go back to that. Their faith shouldn't be rooted in some experience that they've had or something that they recall or that they can't really recall very well. Their faith has to be rooted in the Word of God. And so I'll go and I'll ask them something like, well, can you tell me what the gospel is? Can you tell me why you need to be saved? What does God's Word say? And all of a sudden, what we'll do is we'll go back over the scriptures and we'll talk about sin and we'll talk about the fact that we're separated from God and we'll see it right there from the scriptures. I'll say, do you believe that? Yes, I believe that. I believe that that's true. Okay, well, let's look at what Christ did for you. And we talk about how Christ died for their sins and he rose from the dead and how his righteousness is available to be given to them, imputed to them if they'll place their faith in Christ. And I'll ask them the question, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died for your sins and rose from the dead? Yes, I affirm that. Yes, I believe that. Have you trusted in the finished work of Christ as you sit here before me? What are you depending on? What are you relying on to give you eternal life? Is it your own righteousness? Is it your own good deeds? No, it's in what Jesus has done for us. And I'll say, well, let me tell you, you may very well have placed your faith in Christ when you were 5, 6, 8 years old. But the fact that you're sitting here before me and the fact that you can rehearse to me back the Word of God and what it says about the gospel and how someone's saved, and the fact that you can affirm that right here and right now you are placing your faith and trusting in the finished work of Christ, that's what you need to look at. You are depending on the gospel. And the scriptures say in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And you know what? You're not relying on your righteousness. You're not relying on your good deeds. You're not relying on your performance of the law. You are relying in the finished work of Christ. And so I can tell you, based on the authority of scripture, that as you sit here before me, if you're depending on the work of Christ, you have the Son and you have life. What's the point? That's very similar to what Jesus did with John. He didn't take him back to some past experience. He emphasized what was right in front of him in the moment. But I'm also going to say something unique about this. Even though John lived contemporary to Christ, John was still responsible to trust an eyewitness account. You know, when we read the Bible, you know what we're reading? We're reading a record, a witness of eyewitnesses. When the apostles proclaimed the gospel, they weren't just giving the message. They were saying, we saw this take place. We actually spent time with Jesus. We heard him preach and teach. We saw the signs that demonstrated the authenticity of his ministry. We heard what he said. We saw him crucified and risen, and we bear witness to who he is. That's what the apostles were doing. We rely on eyewitness accounts that have been preserved for us in the Word of God. John the Baptist had to rely on the eyewitness accounts of the disciples that he sent there to Jesus to ask this question. That's exactly what Luke is doing with Theophilus. Luke chapter 1, verse 3. It seemed to me good also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. You say, well, Pastor, can you kind of pull all this together? Here's what I would say is the takeaway from this talk this morning. When your heart is shaken, you've got to go back to what you know is objectively true. And you know what is objectively true? It's God's word. You've got to rehearse those truths back to yourself. You have to consider them. You have to ponder them. You have to meditate on them. Consider the implications of those things. And remind yourself again that I am resting and I'm standing upon these scriptures that give me these truths. That is what we must do when our faith is shaken. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow, because tomorrow what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how this is something that is a very consistent way that the scriptures tell us to handle these kinds of situations. I hope that this has been an encouragement to you this morning. If it has, you know, feel free to write me a note. If it's opened up a can of worms, you have some questions, feel free to send me an email, and I would really be glad to just interact with you on those issues. Want to be an encouragement. I think this is a very practical concept that is right where we struggle sometimes as Christians. Hope this has been encouragement to you. Have a great rest of your day. Bye now.